Welcome to Men of Iron Podcast. My name is Jeff, and I'm here with my guy, Ryan.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm all right.
Good, good. Hey, you know, we have been talking through this series called Family Dynamics, and we started out with a man's role in the house. Then in week two, we talked about a man and his kids. Man, there were some good conversations in there. And then last week, we did broken relationships. Well, we're wrapping it up with a talk around blended families. And I love that we're doing a series around this because sometimes this can be a little bit of a taboo topic in the church, right? But to me, that's all the more reason why we should be talking about it. So I'm a stats guy. And so I got a couple of things here. I just wanted to kind of set this up with because I think it's going to blow your mind. The first thing is in the most recent U.S. Census, it says that there are 1,300 step families being created every day.
Wow.
And out of that, over 30 million kids that are age 13 and under live with a biological parent and their partner. That is craziness. There are 30 million people in Texas, just to put it into proportion, like our biggest state, right? So to me, this is just something we need to be talking about. And so for clarity's sake, I'd like to start by just asking you, like, what would you say is a good definition for a blended family?
I get, like, a blended family, there's probably like different iterations of that, right? But essentially, like, it's different biological households that are now combined from, for whatever reason, you know, like, I think I tend to think of because of divorce, but that's not always the case. You know, it could be like a husband that died, a wife that died, for whatever reason. Your families have been blended. And I don't have any experience with a blended family on my own side, but being a youth pastor for the last several years, like, it's, I understand those stats because you see those stats. Like, it's very common.
And that kind of rolls right into like another question for you is, what is your exposure to blended families, and what did that feel like?
You know, I guess, like, just to be totally honest, unfortunately, like, I spent a lot of time with blended families that were significantly struggling. And usually because someone in that equation just was not being fair to the situation. Just to be like totally open, I know that's not the case for every family. I know that there are blended families that are crushing it. I got to know a few of those people. But I do know from working directly with students that I've worked with a lot of students that have blended family backgrounds, and they were struggling significantly, usually because someone in that equation was not honoring God at all. Or they were like honoring God publicly and then were a completely different person privately. That will destroy everybody around you. It's just, it's very hard to teach a student to love Jesus when they're watching, you know, their dad, their stepdad, their mom, their stepmom just fake it. Because it's like, listen, like, I know what you see and it seems good, but like, what I see is awful. And it's really challenging.
You know, for me, I come from a blended family. I have a sister, a stepsister, a half brother, and an adopted brother. So I think I have all the flavors, to be honest with you. And, you know, the honest, in our situation, it really was because of divorce and a bunch of dysfunction and things like that. And so I don't want to say this with judgment, but I do want to say that God's design for the family was very specific. And if it, if you are in a situation where your blended family has some of those negative, bad experiences and so forth, it's probably going to have some challenges that that a traditional biblical family is not really going to have. And so that's not to say that God can't redeem your family and redeem your role as the man of that blended family, but it means that it's going to probably take a little more work or a little more intentionality than your everyday traditional family. And, you know, there are several stories in Scripture that we could reference. And one of my favorite stories overall is just Joseph in the Old Testament. And I mean, this is a guy that his brother, his half brothers, right? They end up selling him into slavery. And of course, God had a reason for that, and that all played out. But I have to believe that a large part of why the brothers did that is because of his dad's blatant favoritism. He obviously loved David. He gave him the coat of many colors and all the, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when it comes to, your experience, talk to me about what are some of the challenges that a blended family can have today?
Definitely from my, I understand, I want to say this up front. I know that my experience is limited and that I've worked with students that have experienced this. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen is like the families that kind of like, I would say like acknowledge those struggles up front, mm-hmm. and understand like, you know what? Our family's not perfect. You know what? Like it would definitely be easier this way, but that's not how we're doing life. Our life is not that way.
Yeah.
It seems like that the families that were pretty open and honest about it and weren't trying to hide stuff, it seems like they had the best success caring really well for their kids. And my view is almost primarily the kids. Like I've spent a lot of time with like teenagers that are trying to make sense of, well, I live 1 week here. I live 1 week here. I live under these rules here. I live under different rules here. Mm-hmm. This parent really keeps track of what's going on. This parent has no idea what's going on. So what I would do, kind of speaking to the children experiencing that, is like, mm-hmm. okay, you need to take your personal discipleship really seriously because you could actually be one kid this week and a different kid this week. And you could take advantage of the fact that one parent or one household doesn't really care about if you're honoring God or not. And this household does. So you could go wild this mm-hmm. week and go to church this week, or you could decide, okay, my life's not exactly the way I thought it would play out.
Right.
It catches everybody by surprise. What I'm going to do is serve God with my life. Mm-hmm. And it is like, I've seen it. It's so hard for a student to be the one to make that decision when they're not getting backup.
Yeah.
But it can be done. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, if you're a split family, I know those conversations can be hard because some divorces are just ugly for justifiable reasons. Like, it makes sense. There's tension there. It makes sense that divorce happened because what was happening behind the scenes was ugly. Mm-hmm. Whatever you can do to encourage your kids to know and follow Jesus, to know God and know their purpose, that is going to serve them so well mm-hmm. because there's already so many things challenging them that you may know about that you might not know about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such good stuff, man. And honestly, it's almost like you're reading my mail because, Mary and I got together when Isaac was 4 years old. And so we experienced this whole dynamic and the whole relationship, there was this weird tension and frustration between Mary and Isaac. And like I mentioned in a previous podcast, we weren't serving the Lord in our early relationship. And so we didn't have any kind of good, biblical stance or anything. Yeah. But we were trying to be good moral people, which, take that for what it is.
Yeah.
And then, like you mentioned, like the dynamic of, we ended up giving our hearts to the Lord. And so we started to set these moral standards in our household. And unfortunately, Isaac's mom had a different viewpoint. And so there was always like, I can do whatever I want there. I can't do anything here. It's like, why would I ever want to come here? And all this kind of stuff. And it was like this weird dynamic. But we knew at that time that we had to stick strong to our morals mm-hmm. because we were trying to change something that has been a generational thing in my family. Mm-hmm. And, it's tricky because, it is hard for a kid to deal with all these different dynamics, and they have no context for how they're supposed to be mm-hmm. if Dad says one thing and mom says another thing and they're in different households. Who do I follow and why do I follow it and all that blah. Like they're just not prepared for those kind of decision-making scenarios. So it really wasn't until Isaac became an adult that we finally started to see real resolution in the relationship between Mary and him. And a lot of that I think has to do with, we just stuck firm in our Christian morals mm-hmm. and he grew to respect that. Mm-hmm. But regardless of where you're at, God can redeem your blended family. And we've talked about this before, but like, it's never too late. Like start pursuing him, start putting him in the right place in your heart as the father mm-hmm. figure, and start being a Christian husband that you're supposed to be. And you'd be amazed at what God can start doing. So what do you think is like one step that a blended father can do who's in the middle of this and really maybe is confused or struggling or having a hard time that he can start doing that will move him towards that redeemed family position?
I would say, again, just being on like the pastoring mm-hmm. side of this, I would say do everything you can to be one person. It just seems like it's so easy to be two different people. And I do know there are some situations where it's like, well, I can't just say everything. Like I can't mm-hmm. just talk through every single detail, but be as honest as you can and do your best not to be two different people.
Yeah.
Because I've just seen that be so harmful. I would say that to dads, I would say that to moms too.
Yeah.
I've seen that be so harmful. I would say another thing that I've noticed is particularly when you're first entering that blended family stage. So if there's like active trauma that's occurring,
mm-hmm.
do your best to be open about that because kids are constantly trying to figure out what's going on and they're very good at figuring out what's going on actually. Mm-hmm. So do what you can to tell the truth, respectfully and try to keep that respect pretty high
mm-hmm.
because your kids don't want to be put in a place where they have to pick a side of a war.
Yeah.
It's just not fair to them. And they don't know how to handle it very well.
Right.
And then, do everything you can to be as close to God as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And because again, like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom and all knowledge. Like God is going to help you figure this out and he has to be in that equation. And please don't use your kids against whatever other relationship is present.
Yeah.
It's really hurtful. And that kind of stuff extends really far.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I would add to that too, like you were talking about Joseph. One of the really crazy things about Joseph is, of course, he's part of this blended family situation. He actually has several different versions of family throughout his life.
Mm-hmm.
And his relationship with God is what keeps him centered and keeps him faithful. And God is in control of everything that's happening. So if you understand that God is in control of the situation, continue to seek him knowing that he can work things out in a way that you don't understand.
Yeah.
And he can guide you and help you along the way. It's critical as you try to do this blended family thing. And please be respectful of the other family. Like mm-hmm. it's really yeah. important. Sometimes there are ugly things that happen.
Yeah.
And you got to work through those things, but do the best you can to honor God and set your kids up to be in a place where they're going to be successful.
Yeah. And I would just add to that, like, I think you're right on the mark. And like one of the things that I see sometimes is that a step parent will come in and try to be the biological parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually a setup for something pretty bad. Even if the biological parent was complete craziness, right?
Yeah.
What you can do in that situation that really is a better benefit for the child is just be the best Christian version of your role that you can be. Right. And I think, we talk a lot about intentionality
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's going to take some intentionality to be a solid Christian father, no matter if you're in the traditional or the blended or any version of that. Because you were designed and created to be what God has kind of set forth, right? So talk to me. I know we talked a little bit about Joseph, but has any other scripture come to mind where you're thinking through, like, what does it mean to be a good Christian father?
I keep saying the same thing, like fear the Lord. Like mm-hmm. if you fear the Lord, that's going to help you.
Yeah.
Those family household passages. So it's like Ephesians 5 and 6, Colossians 3. I think it's 1 Peter. Essentially, like you need to care about the discipleship of your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a blended family role, that means care for your stepkids. Like,
yeah.
like you're their stepdad, like care for their discipleship and set them up to be in a place where they can fear the Lord. They can follow what God mm-hmm. says. I understand there's pain. I don't want to minimize any of that. But do what you can to lead them well
yeah.
and not provoke them. That's kind of that
yeah.
Ephesians passage mm-hmm. talks about not provoking your kids to wrath.
Right.
When you're already surrounded by maybe like a little bit more complex relationships, it's easy to provoke wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I guess that's like old school language, but,
right, but
it's easy to make people angry because you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't do that. Like do yeah. everything you can to understand, okay, like, I got to get a handle on this, and I want to care for my kids. Yes, I might need to discipline my kids. I might need to call them up. But when I do it, I want to do it in a way that has them in mind and has their discipleship in mind. Like, is this going to make them more like Christ? Yeah, I'm going to enter into this, and I'm going to do it in a way that's loving, caring. You're not going to ignore it.
Right.
Like, you're not going to pretend like a problem isn't there, but you're going to do your best to approach it in a way that doesn't provoke anger.
Yeah.
And that is, like, that's what the scripture passage says. I'm not making up that piece.
No, that's so good, man. So one of the things I like to do during a podcast is just kind of lay out a few challenges for guys to take some small steps, right? I think, you know, we don't have to change completely overnight, but we should be making some progress. So a few things that came to mind immediately for me were, pray with your wife and pray with your kids individually. Like, that might be a challenge at first to get that to happen, because it's not natural a lot of times, but the idea of demonstrating a healthy prayer life and the amount of care that you're putting into actually doing it with them is going to go a long way. The next one, obviously, reading scripture and getting to know God and helping them to understand God. And you've talked about, like, knowing the fear of the Lord and some of that kind of stuff. And I think that that's just so beneficial for them to see you pursuing discipleship for yourself and also feeding into their journey. And then finally, and this is probably the biggest one, is be the husband that you should be to your wife. Lead by example. Let your kids know that a godly husband looks like this, and those characteristics. Like, live that out, because just like it happened in my life, like, it can be a generational thing. If your kids see and accept divorce and blendedness and all these things as, like, okay, then you could potentially be setting them up to enter into the same thing. And if you think it's hard, they're going to think it's hard. And so all those kind of things. So if you want to set your kids up well, do what you can to break those generational chains, right? So really, you know, that's where we're at for you today. Like, I think this is a topic that we could talk about probably for hours, but would love to hear your thoughts or any of that kind of stuff. If you are going through this and would like prayer, any of that, contact us out on menofiron.org, and we'll do what we can for you. Until next time, we are heading out, and we're going to have Travis and Scott are going to lead us through the money series next. So you guys, you're going to want to hear that. So thank y'all. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Men of Iron podcast. If you enjoyed that episode, you can go to our website, menofiron.org. You can also like that episode. You can ring the notification bell, or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. But again, thanks for listening to the Men of Iron podcast.